Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Veterinary Advice, Animal News and Views, the place for pets and their people who love them.
Aw, he's so soft.
Come here, boy.
Here is your host, practicing veterinarian, Veterinary News Network reporter, and host of the popular YouTube show, The Web DVM, Dr. Roger Welton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Veterinary Advice, Animal News and Views. I am your host, Roger Welton, veterinarian, coming to you live from the Florida Space Coast, as always. Thank you very much for joining me this evening. In case you're a little bit thrown off by the title, The Dogs or Cats, Last Will and Testament, this will not be a morbid show. I don't like to get into really depressing stuff, but I think this is something that really needs to be discussed because ever since I saw certain posts on Facebook that I was kind of moved by, it's on my mind, and I really feel we should talk about it. And I'd also like to get your feedback as well as to what your thoughts are on this particular topic. And again, I don't want to give up too much of it until we jump right into the full discussion. I just want to remind everybody this is a live call-in show, 877-878-1435. Again, that's 877-878-1435. We are a live show, so we do take those call-ins, and I'd love to hear from you. We also take email questions or comments that we address live on the air each show. Tonight we have one from Carolyn from Cincinnati, Ohio. And before we jump into our topic this evening, we're going to go ahead and address Carolyn's question. She's our one and only email tonight. Carol from Cincinnati, Ohio, that is. My dog was just diagnosed with lymphoma. The veterinarian recommended chemotherapy, assuring me that they tend to handle it very well, very unlike people, and that it is worth treating because of the high possibility of long remission rates, as high as 2 years. My independent research has been conflicting, so I would really appreciate your advice as to whether or not I really should be doing this. He's an 8-year-old beagle. It's interesting that you have a beagle, Carol, because I actually have a lymphoma case that is a beagle, diagnosed very young, lovely, lovely dog, lovely, lovely young couple. This particular dog was only 3 years old at the time of diagnosis. They're a young couple that don't have children yet. This dog is their baby and their firstborn, so to speak. And I will tell you that she had a form of lymphoma that's not typical, that we don't tend to expect very long remission rates, but these two folks were very, very dedicated to their dog and were willing to spend whatever it took. And they actually went forward with the treatment, even understanding that the form of lymphoma this particular dog had did not carry the greatest prognosis. But the good thing for this particular creature is that even though we had a form of lymphoma that is not quite as amenable to chemotherapy as other forms, the more common forms, this is a more rare one, there was a new innovation in veterinary medicine at the time for an adjunctive therapy in addition to chemotherapy, which is full body radiation. So not only did they subject this particular dog to chemotherapy, which goes in IV on a weekly to biweekly basis over several weeks. I believe the treatment course for this dog was about 26 weeks total. And they also integrated full body radiation where actually the patient's under anesthesia and they irradiate the whole body from the neck down in order to facilitate chemotherapeutic treatment. Well, long story short, the dog were three months post-diagnosis. She was in remission for 2 years. She's come out of remission, but they followed up with some quote-unquote booster treatments where while she still lives with a certain level of cancer, her quality is very good. She eats well. She came in just for her yearly the other day. And, this is a case where this dog did not really get sick at all from the chemotherapy, the radiation, the level that they use for this treatment course are not as heavy as some of the radiation levels we'll see for, you know, focal aggressive treatments, bone tumors and things of that nature. So all in all, the dog did fantastically well. She's such a good patient where, you can put an IV catheter in her. She doesn't really, she's wagging her tail. She's happy. The owners were often in the room, in the exam room for the treatments and, sit there and pet the dog while the fluids would run in with the chemotherapy treatments. And what we do with dogs is we use doses that are not so lethal and toxic, because we have a different goal in veterinary medicine. The goal in people is to kill the cancer and eradicate the cancer at all costs, or with as minimal collateral damage as possible, but they're willing to accept some level of collateral damage to the body in order to kill that cancer, because that's the goal. With dogs and cats, our goal is different. We're looking to provide remission when we can with reasonable doses, and if remission isn't possible, it all depends on the cancer, we're going to enable that dog to be able to live with cancer a bit better. With cats, it's a little bit different because not all kitties are thrilled to go to the veterinarian, and actually most are not, including my own. So, you know, even if they're fine with putting in the IV catheter and, you know, they have good pain tolerance and they're not going to give you a hard time with all the follow-up monitoring stuff you need to do, like ultrasound, x-rays occasionally, blood work occasionally. They, you know, is it worth doing it in a cat? And really, it comes down to the individual animal. And of course, some dogs aren't great candidates for chemotherapy because the frequent visits to the vet are traumatic to the dog. You know, there are some dogs that just don't have a good experience at the vet. They get really, really worked up. They have to be muzzled. Some of them are peeing, you know, they're defecating as we're examining them. You know, those patients, I'm not going to recommend chemotherapy for, because they're outright miserable. So they're that scared that they're actually voiding on the table as you're just so much as putting your hands on them. That's not a good patient, a good candidate for chemotherapy, because in order to get it done, you're really diminishing quality of life, because that dog just hates being there, or that cat just hates being there. So a lot of my advice, Carolyn, comes down to, what is your dog's individual temperament? Does he particularly like going to the vet? Does he show up and does he wag his tail? Is he licking the technician's hands? Is he getting pet and loved on by everybody? Is it a good experience for him when he goes? That's a big factor. Second factor is, what type of lymphoma are we talking about? Is it the conventional lymphoma where all of the lymph glands, lymph nodes get enlarged, all the ones that we can palpate, the ones in the neck, the ones in the shoulders, back of the knees, inguinal area? That is the one that is going to be more of a Hodgkin's disease-like presentation that's actually going to be quite favorable as far as remission rates are concerned with chemotherapy treatment. So that's another factor. You know, do we have a situation where we have our more conventional lymphoma that is very amenable to chemotherapy? Thirdly, is there any other mitigating disease? So do we have any kidney compromise, liver compromise, anything that's going to make her potentially anything that's going to make him a potentially not so good patient for chemotherapy, because even though we're using doses that are better accepted by the body for animals, because our goals are different, they still have to be processed by the liver and kidneys, and some are more liver toxic and some are more kidney toxic, and some are bone marrow toxic, where they're going to suppress the creation of red and white blood cells, so we can see immune suppression, we can see anemia. So is there any mitigating disease? So I would say, if your dog has a favorable temperament at the vet and it's not excessively stressful for him, because he will need to go every 1 to 2 weeks, you know, at least for about half the year, do we have a patient that has a form of lymphoma where we do have a pretty good possibility of 18 months or longer remission rates? You know, that's something to know. In the case of the beagle that I talked about, the 3-year-old had the rare form that, you know, not quite as favorable in terms of the overall prognosis. Yet this dog kicked a hole in it and, you know, had the owners, you know, elected not to do the treatment and put her down at the time. You know, this dog's pushing 6 now. When we were 3 at diagnosis, you know, they would have sacrificed 3 years with their beloved dog. And the dog is amazing. I just love the dog. And the owners just love the dog. And so, you know, even if it's maybe not the most amenable form of cancer for chemotherapy, you never know. You know, so it still may be worth attempting. It all really depends on how you feel about odds and statistics and whatnot. And then thirdly, is there any mitigating disease that could potentially make that chemotherapy more dangerous? Kidney liver compromise would be the first things I look at. So there's some variables for you to look into, and if you want to look into that and maybe follow up in my next show a week from today, I'd be happy to do some follow-up with you. If you have any more input to give me, I certainly would be happy to give you my take on it. I think overall, it is a good consideration if you can afford it. you know, you're talking, depending on where you are in the country, depending on whether or not you're doing it at a referral center under an oncologist or a general vet is doing it, you're talking about anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000, you know, big variation in cost. And this is, of course, we're talking about the cost of the entire regimen throughout the entire treatment course. So all of your ultrasounds you're going to have, all of the blood work you're going to have, all of the treatments you're going to have, the fluids, the follow-up care, all of that, you know, we're talking when all said and done, you know, $4,000 to $10,000, you know. So anyway, think about that. It's not necessarily death sentence, and I think there's every reason to be, you know, hopeful that there could be a solution for your dog. Thank you for your question this evening, Carolyn. We do wish you the best. And please, even if you don't have any follow-up questions or concerns with regard to this particular question that you submitted, we would like to perhaps know, maybe get some periodic progress reports if you decide to do chemotherapy. So our topic tonight, a dog's, in parentheses, cat's last will and testament. Well, I came across this post on Facebook the other day. Yes, I do go on Facebook. I'm just as human as anybody else. I do like Facebook. This particular post was so moving to me. We actually ended up posting it on my animal hospital's Facebook page because it was just so moving. At the same time, a little bit sad, but certainly, again, we're not here to be maudlin and depressed and miserable. We're here to just talk about a very serious topic. I come across on a regular basis, you know, people that are just dealing with the end of life situation with their dogs and cats, and they're having a really hard time reconciling it, dealing with it. So for some people, it's a first time pet they've had, or maybe it's your second or third, and they just are feeling increasingly troubled by the thought of losing their pets. They become so much a part of the fabric of the home and the dynamic of the family, in the case of families, and the companionship. They become part of you if you really, truly love animals. And so a lot of these folks, because of the pain of that, I will often hear, "This is it, Doc. I'm done. I'm not doing this again. I can't. It's too hard." I can certainly understand that. I've been there myself. I've had a few in my day that I've lost because I've had dogs and cats since I was a very little boy. Well, my first dog was I got when I was just under 4 years old. So I've loved and I've lost, and I certainly understand how hard that can be. But I would like everyone who feels that way and thinks that way and makes these proclamations that never again, because of the pain of loss, I'd like you to listen to this, because although it's out there, not everybody has actually read it or seen it. I certainly hadn't seen it until this Facebook post went around, and hopefully it's viral. Hopefully, I'm hoping that a lot of people are going to have the opportunity to see this, because it's very moving. Now, it's titled "A Dog's Last Will and Testament." The author is unknown. And folks, for those of you who love cats, I love my cats. I'd like you to just picture what I'm about to read to you. Instead of dog, just replace it for cat, because it could mean the exact same thing. But for a kitty cat, a beloved feline, our cats can be every bit as amazing as our dogs in the walks of our pet-owning life and their impact on the family and whatnot. So here we go. A dog's last will and testament. And again, if you're a feline owner or you love your cats as well, just replace dog for cat. This is what it reads. And again, author unknown. I'm taking no credit for this because I didn't write it, but I did put it on my blog because it's so moving that I don't think anything else that I would write would convey the idea any better. A dog's last will and testament. Before humans die, they write their last will and testament, give their home and all they have to those they leave behind. If with my paws I could do the same, this is what I would ask. To a poor and lonely stray, I'd give my happy home, my bowl and cozy bed, soft pillows, and all my toys. The lap, which I loved so much, the hand that stroked my fur, and the sweet voice that spoke my name. I'd will to the sad, scared shelter dog, the place I had in my human's loving heart, of which there seemed no bounds. So when we die, please do not say, I will never have a pet again, for the loss and pain is more than I could stand. Instead, go find an unloved dog whose life has held no joy nor hope, and give my place to him. This is the only thing I can give, the love that I left behind. Pretty powerful. Certainly written by a person, but boy, does it convey a lot of powerful message there. And one of the top points about making that stance, because the pain of loss is so great, against having another pet ever again, you take your home out of the equation. You take your loving home that clearly you loved so much and you're grieving so hard because you loved that pet so much. You're taking that home out of the opportunity for unwanted animals. And there's more and more every day. It's a never-ending battle to try to find unwanted animals' homes. I know people that fight the good fight, that work for rescues. We give discount care for our rescues that we work with, and I know the uphill battle that they fight. Puppy mills churning out more puppies, people giving them up, people gifting puppies and kittens for Christmas and birthday presents to the unsuspecting people that had no idea they were receiving this gift, that were not prepared or ready to have a pet. These pets get turned in to shelters. They get put to sleep if they don't get homes fast enough. In the case of cats, the feral cat problem is just out of control. They're rounded up all the time, and if they don't get a home within 30 days, they're put to sleep. The feline rescues work tirelessly to try to get dog or cats spayed and get their shots and get them leukemia and AIDS tested, all to come across a person who's letting his male cat, intact, not neutered, out to roam and impregnate other cats out there, making more unwanted kittens, so on and so forth. We keep fighting the good fight, and we always will, because, you know, the battles that you win make it worth it. But at the same token, when you take your loving home that you've provided for one or more pets out of the equation as far as letting it be a destination to these pets that so desperately need homes and these rescue workers that so tirelessly work to find these pets' homes, you're really doing humanity and the animal world an injustice. And, you know, in the end, it's just a shame that someone would fear loss so much that here they have a perfectly good home and capable home and are willing and able, or had been willing and able, to provide a wonderful home. But it's off the market because it's just too hard to lose Fluffy or Tiger or Fido or whatever, whomever. So I'd like you to really think about that, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you listening who are experiencing an end-of-life situation and declining health care for a particular pet, and you're dealing with the notion and the idea that you're going to lose that pet soon, or you've lost a pet and you're in the midst of grieving so profoundly that it's so difficult to cope, just remember that you, by placing a pet in your home, the life-changing event for that living thing is beyond description. And just listen to how this dog described his owners, the loving lap, the sweet voice that spoke my name. That's really how they revere us, folks, for dogs and cats. You come home, they give you that greeting, that unconditional love. When the stresses of life are getting you down, these guys give you a furry shoulder to cry on. They snuggle up to you on the couch, in some ways just conveying, it's okay, I'm here and I love you, and I'm here for you. And it's a loyalty and a love that we just can't put into words. I know for myself, I've loved dogs, I've loved cats, I've lost devastating, devastating events. Especially when I lost my first one, that was really the only loss I'd ever known. I'd not lost a grandmother yet. I had not lost anybody that I cared or loved. I'd never lost a pet before. That first one was very hard, but I can't say that it's ever gotten easier. In fact, maybe in some ways it's gotten harder. So at the same token, though, when I look at all the years in between the loss, when I had the good fortune to have shared my life with these pets, shared my home with them, all of that joy is worth it. It's worth bearing with that pain. That's the way I feel. Do I look forward to it? Of course not. Right? I have two aging dogs right now. I have one cat that's getting up there in years, and I have two cats that are such troublemakers and such a hazard to their own health because of the things they do and the things they chew and the things they get into, and one of them likes to bolt from the house, and, you know, Lord knows one of their lives can be cut short, even though they're only 3 years old. You know, it's just one of those things that you never know what's going to happen next. But the other thing I want to talk about, you know, that's the perspective of, you know, taking away your home from a pool of homes, and there's only so many where these pets can go. It's just a shame. The other thing, though, is, you know, where do you draw the line in your fear of loss? Do you not make any friends because one day your friends may move away in the place where you're not going to see them regularly, although Facebook really helps with that these days? Maybe friends can die. We're humans. We can die. Eventually, we all do. Question is, who's going to die first? So we do not make any friends because we're scared they're going to die one day? Do we not marry because one day we may lose that spouse, or that spouse may lose us? Do we not have children because one day those children are going to have to face the inevitable loss of their parents? Do we not have children just because we fear for their safety in an increasingly dangerous world where we could, God forbid, lose them or witness something very troubling happen to them? You know, we all saw what happened in Connecticut. Those little children, one of the most horrific things that I could conceive of. I have two little children as well. And, you know, are we not going to have kids because something like that happened? You know, where do you draw the line? Do you live your life in fear of loss or in fear of the unknown or what can happen? To me, that's no way to live. You know, I'm a strong believer in worrying about the present, living in the present, enjoying the present. Enjoy the loyalty and the compassion that and the love that you get from your pets. Worry about the loss later. It's down the road. It's going to come. It may be 10 years, it may be 5 years, it may be 15 years. In the case of some cats, it may be 22 years. Enjoy the ride with them. Know you're going to lose them one day, but don't focus on that. Focus on living with them. Focus on the cool Christmas hat that they'll tolerate you putting on them, the Halloween costume you dress them up in for a photo shoot, the love and camaraderie with your children as your children get to grow up among pets and loving pets. And yes, having to eventually deal with the loss of them, but having a great time on the journey. Think about all that. You know, George Carlin was one of my favorite comedians. He, big dog lover, big cat lover. The guy was just a genius and had a much bigger heart than a lot of people realize. He just loved his animals. And one of the things he said, and again, you know, just substitute the word dog for cat because I think a lot of us that love pets have the same experience. He says, life is a series of dogs. And what he's getting at is that for a lot of us, each dog or cat that we've had sort of defines a certain era of our life. I'll give you an example. For me, Waldo was an English Cocker Spaniel. Wonderful, wonderful creature, all black. Got him when I was just under 4 years old. My parents actually got the dog from my brother, my older brother, who was making his first Holy Communion. We were raised Catholic. And that was his reward for achieving that milestone. And it was supposed to be his dog, and he did love the dog, and he claimed the dog, but, you know, he was getting a little older and in Little League and got a little distracted, and little by little, Waldo wasn't quite as important aspect of his life, but that was okay because his younger brother, me, was infatuated with the dog. I ate, slept, breathed Waldo. I would play with him in the backyard and put him in jail, and I would arrest him and, you know, play cops, and he was always my constant companion. When my brother went off to elementary school and I was still home because I only did half a day at kindergarten, I had Waldo to play with. And it was wonderful. Waldo lasted till I was about 13 years old. And so I look at Waldo. He was my first canine experience. He was my first introduction to the love of animals. for really experiencing the joy and the love that they provide in your life. And I was hooked. And he made me want to be a doggy doctor. One day, Waldo got very sick. He had eaten a bunch of chicken bones, and they got stuck in his rectum. And he was in so much pain, and he was bleeding from his rectum. It was very bad. Well, we took him to the vet. The vet gave him a little sedative. He was able to pull those bones out of his butt. And I got to the vet with my dad. I had a very sick dog, and I left, and I had a dog who was a little groggy, but looking much better and happy, and I saw him make that dog better, who meant the world to me, and that's all I wanted to do for the rest of my life. My next dog, Stanley, I got as a replacement for Waldo. This one's actually my present. He was my 14th birthday present. I was in 8th grade. Stanley was an English Cocker Spaniel, and Stanley kind of spanned my teenage years, transitioned from middle school to high school and my early college years. And those are very formative years where you find yourself as a young adult, very confusing time, but a very elating time. Had my first serious girlfriend. Spent a lot of hours with that girlfriend and Stanley at the park. Stanley was wonderful, and I lost him during finals week, my sophomore year of vet school. My parents didn't tell me till after I was finished with finals because they didn't want it to affect my academic performance, and I'm glad they did because it may have. Losing Stanley was very hard. Then came Tiffany. Tiffany is my my vet school / young bachelorhood / meeting my wife dog. Tiffany's a Labrador Retriever. She was phenomenal. I loved her so much. And there I went to St. Kitts, the island of St. Kitts, to start my veterinary education at Ross University School of Veterinary Medicine. She went down there with me. I got transferred to University of Illinois for my senior clinical year. Tiffany was with me. Took my first job and brought my future wife from Illinois over to Long Island, New York. Tiffany was with me. Moved down here to Florida to set up, to establish roots, start my business, and really settle down. Tiffany was with me, and I lost her. She kind of signified the my transition from student to responsible adult. Big transition there. She was part of that. She took the journey with me every step of the way. Very hard to lose her. And then lastly, there is Bernie. Now, Bernie is my current Labrador. He is amazing. He's one of the loves of my life. Bernie came along just before we were starting to plan a family, just before we were getting ready to have kids. And there's my Bernie. And so what Bernie represents, this particular dog, is really, really sowing my oats, I guess, as a responsible adult, a career person, a husband, and now being in my wife and I, who moved around so much, we're a bit antsy and not quite sure where we wanted to settle down ultimately. We weren't in one house for longer than a year. You know, here we are in the same house now for 7 years, almost 7 years. So Bernie is my established dog, and you know, my dog also representing the version of me raising children and having to just up the level of responsibility and being a responsible adult. So there'll be future dogs. And there was a lot of other animals in between. I never just had one pet. There was always many others, but these are the ones that were, I guess, I had the strongest bond with, that really, I guess, defined me more than the other pets. But there's many others that I loved as well and also endured the pain of loss. But life is a series of dogs. It's a series of cats. Don't deny yourself one of the greatest blessings we have as people, the love of an animal, the love of a pet. It is one of our greatest blessings. And don't deny yourself that blessing out of fear of loss. That's my advice to you tonight. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate your attention, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a great night, everybody.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No
purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.